Would you have been running first?
Yeah.
How's that sounding?
Welcome to Interlochen Public Radio's Studio A, featuring intimate performances and conversations in IPR's renowned production studio with some of the world's finest musical artists. Join us next for a behind-the-scenes glimpse into the lives of these extraordinary performers.
I'm Christopher Gruitz, and today we have a very special guest in Studio A, Interlochen alumni and internationally renowned cellist Zuhl Bailey. Zuhl is a distinguished soloist, recitalist, artistic director, and teacher, and has even performed as an actor on the major television network HBO. This is all in between an incredibly busy concerto soloist and recording artist schedule. Zuhl, welcome to Studio A at Interlochen Public Radio.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So Zuhl, let's start in the beginning. What brought you to the cello originally?
Well, hindsight's 20/20, but I come from a musical family. My mom is a pianist. My father is a clarinetist who has his doctorate in music education, both major educators. My sister, who's a little bit older, plays the violin. We grew up in the Washington, D.C. area where the arts were kind of given to us on a silver platter. That was also around the time that the Suzuki system of teaching was full blown. And so I kind of had no choice. I was caught up in the thrill of the arts. So being that my sister was a violinist, they didn't want me to play the violin for competition reasons, but I chose the cello. The story is that my parents put this cello in front of me, and they sat me on these things that people don't even know about these days called telephone books. they put like three in a stack, and they sat me on this, and I wrapped my arms around this instrument and put the bow down to the string. And they said, as a four-year-old, I shut my eyes and played for 15 minutes, just sounds. And I had this kind of content smile. They'd never seen me sit still like that before. And to be honest, they've had to stop me playing the cello since. They never had asked me to practice. I just wanted to keep recreating that feeling, that vibrancy that music gave me for my inside imagination, as well as just the kind of the visceralness of what the sound of the cello does. Every time I hear it, every time I start the day, even to this day, 40 years later, I just pinch myself at how lucky I am to play the cello and also to love music so much.
So tell us how you came to discover Interlochen and come here when you were in high school.
Well, it's very strange and wonderful to be back. The last time I played with the World Youth Symphony was in 1987, 29 years ago. It was my first awakening. Growing up in Virginia, I did everything I possibly could in that region to get experience. But my first real adventure away from home with people from all over the world was at Interlochen. They used to have this, the governor's scholarship. So I had to audition and go to great lengths to try to raise money to come here. In 1987, I just turned 15. I came here and was surrounded by people that were like me, that felt the same things about music and how it fit into their families, and they were so energized by it. And for the first time, I felt a sense of community, and I wasn't different. It's hard to explain. Mm-hmm. But when you go to regular high school and middle school, as I did, you have a few friends that you hang out with that might have affiliation to this kind of music, but everybody was like that. So it changed my life. And I was looking at the World Youth Symphony today and trying to see who was me. And I found them. It was very interesting, and I just kind of smiled, and I remember these days so vividly.
Yeah.
And again, set things in motion that I'm still in kind of awe of.
Thank you.
So you've developed really this broad career across solo performances, you know, a busy touring schedule, but you're also the artistic director of several festivals, as well as a teacher. So talk to us a little bit about how you balance all of those roles in music. It's really a life in music when I look at your career, very much so.
Being given the arts and culture and all of this exposure at a young age, I took it for granted. And as I started to travel as a, quote, performer in my late teens, I started to see that most other areas didn't have that. There are not areas like Interlaken. There are not areas like Virginia. And I began being frustrated when I'd go to play at these places and I would sit in a given community for 3 days waiting for my concert that would last 2 hours and it was in a 400-seat auditorium or whatever. And I would ask the presenters, can I please go out and play for people? May I go to schools? May I go to anywhere? Because my motto was, those who know, go, and those who don't, we have to go to them. And so I started building this muscle of thinking outside the box, trying to figure out ways to bring music to people in different ways. And that began to grow into who I was in very formative years and ended up kind of affecting my direction. I became, I guess, what one would say, a community player. And I started seeing things as not singular. And that guided me to looking for things that would keep inspiring me. That would be the artistic directorships and also just chamber music in general.
So you have such a diverse career. You've been on... an actor, you've been in a television series, you teach, you do all of these things. What haven't you done that you really want to do?
Oh. I'm in the really strange place right now, and I was just thinking about it because I was teaching this cello seminar in Sitka, Alaska 2 days ago, and a young person, 23-year-old, asked me if I ever felt scared and anxious.
It's a great question.
And was I fearful of things? And I said, well, I'll give you one bit of advice about your future. And I said, in my 20s, I remember feeling great anxiety and fear of the unknown. And all I did was try to figure out which direction I'd like to go. And I said, I spent my entire 20s and all of the anxieties that that were inside of me, I dealt with, which made me me. Made me stronger. And I just swallowed the bitter pill. I said, in my 30s, I began attempting to apply that knowledge and put it into places where to see where those seeds might grow. And I said, that's another decade of grinding the soil and trying new things. I said, in my 40s now, I said, I'm starting to enjoy it. I'm starting to sit back and see the flowers and the trees that are growing and all of the cultivation that I have for the past 20 years. And I said, so what I've appreciated that I didn't know in the end, there would be this feeling now, is how many seeds that I actually planted in such a diverse way that I'm able to enjoy so many different aspects of a life in music. What you just described, I couldn't choose just one. I enjoy playing the Dvorak concerto or a solo because I can walk away from that a week later and go teach at a cello seminar. And then I can go play chamber music at a festival, or I can do community engagement and go into schools and just talk to students about this stuff or represent that on television or a radio broadcast like this.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so because of this torch, the cello, I'm now aware and educating myself in ways that I would have never dreamed possible 20 years ago. So what's next? What have I not done? I'm still looking at the stars, and I'm still going. I'm very rarely looking back and enjoying every minute of it as it's happening.
It's a wonderful answer. I think a lot of people don't realize the range of experiences that musicians have, and certainly soloists have, and also the fact that it is a self-driven career and oftentimes an isolated career.
Because very isolated.
You are by yourself traveling to the next gig and typically celebrated at each performance or each gig that you're doing, but you're going in between on your own and you're communicating with your management team or your family, but you're on the road so often.
I'll tell you what brings me great happiness. after all of that work, that one 30-second window in any given concert where I feel everyone in the audience and I are breathing together, and this is why we're doing it. All of a sudden, all the world's problems have gone away and vanished because of the power of music. That right there is why I do this. This is why I spent my entire childhood trying to master this instrument and to kind of run after this dream to bring people together through music.
Let's have some music now from our guest cellist Zul Bailey, who will play the prelude from the first Bach cello suite on an instrument built in 1693 when Bach was 8. Any advice that you would give to younger musicians at Interlochen? You know, you were in rehearsal and you said you maybe saw an example of your earlier self. What? How would you encapsulate some advice to those musicians?
The first thing that comes to my mind is look around. Everyone around you are your people. This is interesting to me to be at this chapter and to look around. And everybody I went to Interlochen with and other places and schools, we are out there doing things and we're supporting each other still to this day. And so I would say, you know, take the time, talk to your friends. Practicing is very important, but it's equally important to be a human being and to experience life and share that, because those are the bonds that will hold everything together, the glue, as you get older, to then use this craft to celebrate life.
Thank you, Zul. Zul Bailey, joining us in Studio A here at Interlochen Public Radio. Thanks so much for being with us.
Pleasure.
You've been listening to Studio A. Today's program was engineered by Michael Culler. Meg Gruitz was our producer. This is Interlochen Public Radio.